Praise God. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. For the past three Sundays, we've been looking at a scripture from, we started out always back in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. The last part of that verse, it says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am, in the Hebrew we say, Jehovah or Yahweh, Rapha, the Lord that heals. And we've been looking at scriptures. We've been looking at Isaiah 53, the chapter in the Old Testament specifically that tells us what Jesus did for us on Calvary. Psalm 22 is another chapter that basically tells us some of the same things that Jesus suffered. But Isaiah goes in a little deeper and tells us some of the things that Jesus accomplished for us. Because when he hung on the cross, the Bible says he took our sins, he took our sicknesses, he took our sorrows, he took our pains. And the Bible says it pleased God to lay upon him, upon Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And because of what Jesus did, we can walk in freedom. We don't have to be afraid of meeting God someday and God being against us and God being angry at us. Jesus already took the punishment for our sins. And we need to really understand that and appreciate that and meditate on that and let the Holy Spirit make that real to us. Matthew chapter 8. Now last week, before I get into Matthew chapter 8, just want to say this. Last week we started, and we're looking at John chapter 9, because there's a lot of times people come, and when it comes for healing and things like this, people come and they say, well, you know, it's your own fault that you got into that mess in the first place. Maybe you're a drug addict or something. Maybe you're an alcoholic and you got your lungs all, you know, burned to pieces or whatever the case might be, or your liver and things like this, smoking and different things, you know, in your lungs. And some people say, well, you know, it's their own fault. If they never did that, they wouldn't have. Listen, everything we do is our own fault. Okay, so stop pointing fingers at people. Everything we do is our own fault. And so we need to understand that just because it's our fault doesn't mean to say that God's not concerned about it. If you get a child that's done something wrong and they end up in prison or whatever the case might be, and you say, well, it's their own fault, they're still your child. You still love them, and you still want to help them. And God is the same thing with his family. Okay, we got to get over this foolishness, this religious idea that you know, God is ready to judge us all the time. Judgment has already been made upon Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 12, he said, now, he said, the judgment of this world is come. And Jesus went on to say, I mentioned this, I think, in the Bible study the other night. Jesus went on to say, because in the King James, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth. Remember that? In the King James, and in most of the translations, they said, I will draw all men unto me. But if you read it, men is not in the original. Okay, now stop and think about this. I know we sing songs sometimes, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I understand that, and I know, you know, he draws us to himself by the Holy Spirit. But that's not what he said in that passage. Okay, you read what he's saying. He said, now the judgment of this world has come, because he is getting ready to go to Calvary. He said, now the judgment of this world has come, and he said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all to me. He would draw all the judgment to him. And we need to understand what God says in his word is not what religion says. Okay, and so we need to understand what Jesus accomplished for us when he went to Calvary. He took all of our judgment, all of our punishment, all of our sin, all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, and he bore the price for them. He paid one sacrifice for everything that Adam brought in, Adam's sin brought into the world. Jesus paid a sacrifice to take it all away from us again. Okay, so don't allow the devil to convince you that, you know, God's got a purpose in trying to teach me something in this sickness. God, you know, I'll draw closer to the Lord and I'll learn things, and no doubt you will. You know, but that's not God's purpose, and God never put it on you. Okay, we need to understand that God is not going around putting sickness on people, and Jesus is going around and heal them. Jesus said, if we're doing that, he said, we're working against each other. And so we need to understand that sickness and disease comes as a result of Adam's fall, and sin, the same thing. Jesus came and paid the price once and for all. You know, this is interesting, and I'll probably touch on this a little later on if we get into this train of thought as we're going through the sermon. But remember how many times in Scripture sin and sickness are tied together. Back in Psalm 103, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We went through this all last week. Then he says, bless the Lord, hold my soul and all that is within me. And then he said, and forget not all of his benefits. See, we've when it comes to salvation, we take one benefit. We say, well, I'll take salvation from sin. But let's not forget all the benefits. And I believe the Holy Spirit did that for a purpose. All the benefits. And then he gives us the first two benefits. He said, who forgives all your iniquities. See, here's a situation. He forgives all of our iniquities. Anybody got any doubt with that? Anybody got any problem with that? But he says, he also heals all of your diseases. See, it's a little harder for us to accept that all, but means the same thing. And we need to understand, remember when Jesus, a couple times he came to him, and they brought a leper to him one time, they brought another man with palsy, and Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. And religious people got mad, and they said, who do you think he is? And Jesus said, what's easier to say? He said, your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk. You know, and the point of Jesus saying, if you understand the atonement, when Jesus paid the price for our salvation, and salvation means more than just being saved from sin. Salvation is a package. We're dealing with this on Wednesday nights now. Salvation is a package that God gives to us, and in that package, there's a lot of benefits. Same thing if you're going to work for a company. They give you a benefit package. Well, when you gave your heart to Jesus, there's a benefit package that came from God. And he said, don't forget the benefits. Because a lot of times we just run with the salvation part of it, the forgiveness of sins. We run with that, and we're excited about that, and so we should be. I believe that's the most important one, obviously. But there's a lot more benefits that God has got for us in this life. And so when Jesus mentioned that, he was saying, listen, this is all in the part in the same price that I'm paying. Everything is covered. So what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or your take up your bed and walk. Healing and salvation is all part of the same package. You understand that? Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 8, beginning of verse 1, just the first four verses. And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Now, Jesus is up in the mountain teaching, and when he came down from the mountain, the Bible says there was a great multitude that followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, the King James says, Lord, if thou wilt. I'm reading New King James, so it's a little different wording. But he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, now, religion would say, well, we really don't know if it's God's will or not. You know, maybe my father put this on you to teach you something for a few years. Maybe, there's a reason for this. Maybe you did something wrong in your life, and this is a result of that. That's how religion talks. Jesus never talked that way. Jesus immediately said to him, stretch out his hand and touch him, and says, I will, or I am willing. This translation says, I am willing. In verse 4 there, Jesus, verse 3 rather, let me read verse 3 again. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer a gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, just to look at the story for a minute, and we'll branch off and go some other things here probably. But this man came up to Jesus. Now, we need to understand what leprosy is. We don't understand it so much in our culture. Sometimes you see it on television when they have the leprosy mission and different things. They're trying to raise funds to help people. But we don't really appreciate it so much in our culture what leprosy did to the people. When you had the leprosy in your body. Now, if you go back to Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, we don't have time to read all that, but you can look back some other time. Back in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, chapter 14, God through Moses, told the people how to deal with leprosy. And he mentioned if you have a little white spot come out on your skin. Now, don't all go home looking in the mirrors now, getting nervous today, okay? So I'm not trying to frighten everybody here. But he said, if you got a little white spot come out on your skin, he said, go to the priest. Now you got to understand, the priest in that day was almost like us going to the doctor to get confirmation for something, you know, or find out what the situation is. He said, go to the priest, and then there were some guidelines there for the priest. If the scab was spreading, he would have to put the person away for 7 days, quarantine. And then after 7 days, he would bring him out again, and he would appear before the priest, and the priest would look at him. And if it never spread, put him away for another 7 days. And he said, when do you bring him back to this time? He said, if it starts to turn dark, he said, and start to, you know, he said, just a scab. He said, there's nothing wrong with it. He said, the priest can declare that he's clean, so everybody can still, you know, communicate with him and fellowship with him. He said, but if the scab starts to spread, and he said it goes deeper, he said, at first he started, he said, if it looks like it's just on top of the skin, he said, put him away for 7 days, and after seven, he said, but if the scab starts to go deeper and starts to spread, he said, the priest would tell him, he said, to declare that he's unclean, and from that time on, he had to leave his family, wasn't allowed to touch anyone. Okay, the disease was so contagious. No one was allowed to touch him. He wasn't allowed to touch anyone. They would go off and live in a colony by themselves with other lepers. And sometimes if their family wanted to do something for them, the family would bring food out so far and lay it down. They would come out and receive the food. It's almost like being in a prison. They would come out and receive the food and go back and eat it again. They weren't allowed to hug their babies anymore. They weren't allowed to hug their wives or their husbands anymore. They were an outcast. And matter of fact, they were declared, as far as they were concerned, consider yourself dead. You're dying a slow death, but you can't fellowship with anybody else anymore. Consider yourself dead. Okay, now, so when Jesus came down from the mountain, the Bible, and if you read the other gospel writers, they said this man ran out, which was a no-no in the first place because he wasn't allowed to be around the people anymore. But he heard somewhere that Jesus was a healer. And he ran out, and the Bible, Mark, I believe, tells us that he fell down before Jesus, and started to worship him. And he said to him, he said, Lord, if you are willing. Now, let me just say something here. There's a lot of times we'll come for healing or whatever the case might be, and we feel that our faith is not perfect. You know, we have imperfect faith. Well, this man had imperfect faith as well. See, we need to understand that God wants to bless us more than we want to receive it sometimes. You know what it's like with your own children? When your children are going through something, you want to do everything in your power you can to help them. And God is the very same thing up there. He's wanting to help his family. But we got so many regulations or rules. And Jesus said one time to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, you've come up with so many man-made rules that you made God's word of none effect. In other words, it can't do anything. It can't accomplish anything because you have so many other beliefs. So this man came to Jesus. Now he had no problem understanding that Jesus was powerful enough to heal him. I mean, if I ask you here this morning, can God heal people? Every single one of us, there's absolutely no question whatsoever, can God heal? We all know he can. You know, and we're all convinced of that. We have faith in that. But if I ask you this morning, will he heal you? And I can guarantee you the first thought comes, well, right? How many? We all think that way. Well, I don't know. I don't know if he wants to. I don't know if I'm good enough. And we come up with all these reasons. Just like, remember last week we talked about, they said, when he came to the blind man, the disciples said, who's sinned, him or his parents, that he's born blind? Jesus said, neither. Remember we talked about that last week? So because, you know, if there's a sickness in your life or in your family, or something, it's not a judgment from God, okay? So get that out of your mind. Okay, we need to understand that. It's not a judgment from God. Jesus came to bear our sicknesses, not to put them upon us. Not once can you read anywhere in the gospel writings where Jesus went up and put sickness on someone. And he said he came to reveal what the Father is like. So if God was going around putting sickness on people, I'm sure somewhere along the line, Jesus would have judged somebody with sickness. You understand that? But he never. He came to deliver them from sickness. He said, I'm doing the works of him that sent me. And the works was to heal the sick, not make them worse. Okay? Not trying to teach. Not once can you ever read of Jesus saying, well, just hold on a minute now. Just wait for a few days and let God teach you through this. Never ever mentioned. But religion says that. Okay? Now, so Jesus comes down from the mountain. This man runs out, falls down before Jesus, begins to worship him. And he was confident in the ability of Jesus. He probably heard stories and different things of Jesus healing people. He was confident of that. But he wasn't too sure about Jesus, if he was willing or not. Now, this is the only place in Scripture where anyone asked if it was God's will to heal. Okay, this is the only place in Scripture where anyone asked. And Jesus put it very clear. Immediately, he reached out and touched him and said, I am willing. Now, a lot of times, we have more faith in God's ability than his love for us. You understand it? We know that God is love. But I tell you, you got a hard time sometimes trying to convince people that God loves them. Yeah, but I did. Listen, God loves you. Yeah, but you don't know what I've been through. It makes no difference. God loves you. Yeah, but you don't know what my background is. That makes no difference. God. Yeah, but you don't know what kind of lifestyle I've been involved. Makes no difference. God loves you. You know, Jesus said, he that comes to me, he said, I will in no wise cast out. You say, well, now, Pastor, you know, this person used to do this and was doing that and doing something else. And, you know, last week I heard this and this week. Listen, I will in no wise cast you out, Jesus said. We got to start thinking in line with God's word, not in line with religious thinking. Now, this man came to Jesus. And the Bible says, now here's the thing about it. You could not touch anyone that had leprosy. I mean, you go back and read it in Leviticus chapter 13 and 14. Leprosy was a scary, once you got that sentence put upon your life, you're dead. That, I mean, it's just as, well, not so bad today because they got so many treatments out there for cancer and different things. But if somebody, you know, says, listen, you got cancer and you got 2 weeks to live or whatever, you know the fear that would put in a person. Well, that was the same type of thing with leprosy. It would start out such a small thing that you really didn't even know what it was. And it would go on for years and years and years. And they were saying, I was reading some articles about it this week, and they're saying that in infants, sometimes if the disease was in the infant, it would just eat away and eat away inside. And they said eventually, when it got up into his late teens and early 20s, then it would start to pop out on the skin somewhere. And they said by that time, it was way too late to do anything. But they had no way of knowing that because it was eating on the inside. You know, and eventually we'd get to the place that it would, you know, deform the body and well, you've seen pictures of it, different things, what it does. But anyway, this is what leprosy would done. It's a good picture of sin in the Bible. Leprosy is a good picture of sin. Now, no one was allowed to touch that person. That person wasn't allowed to touch anyone else. They weren't allowed to be in contact with anyone because you could spread that disease. And once that came into the camp, you had to get outside because there was no cure for it. So nobody would touch the person. But notice what Jesus did. Immediately, Jesus touched him. So here's the difference between... Remember we were talking about the Old Covenant, New Covenant? We've been dealing with this for a long time. Under the Old Covenant, if you touched something dirty or sinful, you became dirty or sinful. Can you understand that? Under the Old Covenant, if there was somebody... Well, if somebody touched a dead body, they were unclean. They had to go and wash themselves and be unclean, I think, until the sun went down or something like that. And, you know, then they had to do some ceremonial things to get clean again and things like this. If, for instance, and don't misunderstand, I'm not trying to be vulgar here, but even a woman in her monthly menstrual cycle, if you came in and sat down in the same chair that a woman sat on, you were unclean. She was unclean. Remember the woman with the issue of blood came where Jesus was? She was unclean because she had an issue of blood. You know, and nobody could touch her. And so you see all these different things. So all throughout the Old Covenant, there were so many taboos. There were so many things that you couldn't touch because if you touched them, you would be declared unclean. And if you came into a place where people were gathered, you had the Bible tells him that he had to cover his bottom lip. I guess nobody knows exactly. Maybe so he wouldn't breathe. His top lip, rather. Like a you know, something over his face. So he couldn't breathe on people or whatever the case might be. But he would, after as he was coming in, he would have to shout, I'm unclean, I'm unclean, so people would clear away and so he wouldn't touch him. That was the law. But when Jesus saw him, immediately Jesus touched him. Now notice this, Jesus never became unclean, but Jesus' cleanness cleaned up the unclean. It's a totally opposite thing. You understand it? Under the Old Covenant, if the unclean touched you or you touched the unclean, you became unclean. But under the New Covenant, when you touch something as unclean, that unclean. See, the cleanness got more power than the sin. I don't know if I'm making it clear to you or not, but it's just backwards. Turned around. But a lot of times when we come to God, and as I said, if I said to you, how many knows that God can heal? Every last one of us, we put up our hands and we give our life for the fact that God heals. You know, we know that so strong that we believe that God heals. There's absolutely no question. God can do anything. We know that, his ability. But will he do it? That's where we have the problem. And the only place in Scripture where we have anyone that was bold enough to come out and say, are you willing to do this? Immediately Jesus said, I am willing. You say, well, yeah, no. But Pastor, he might have been willing for him, but not for me. Well, in that case, he's a respecter of persons. And the Bible tells us God is not a respecter of persons. What do you do for one? You do for the other. That's like saying, well, it's not God's will to save that person. Well, we know that. If I had said to you, is it God's will to save everyone? We all say, yes, absolutely no problem. We believe that. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You understand that? I got a lot of scriptures, and I'm going to read down through some of them. I don't know how far we're going to get. But I just wanted you to understand what Jesus accomplished for us is for every last one of us. And it is God's will to heal every last person. Some people, you know, are saying, well, I believe in healing, but I'm not so sure if God's will to heal everyone. But that's like saying, I believe in salvation, but I'm not so sure if it's his will to save everyone. Because it's all paid for at the same time. The one atonement took care of everything that Adam brought into the world. Adam's sin brought into the world. Here's some scriptures. You can jot down the title, the references of those if you want to. You're not going to have time to write them all then, obviously, but just jot down the references, look them up yourself when you get a chance. And there's probably more. These are just ones crossed my mind as I was just going down through different things and just start thinking, you know, healed all. So I type it in and it came up on the screen, so I just copied them down. So just get this one. Matthew chapter 24. Let's start over again. Matthew 4:24. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people. Okay, now you think, well, if you brought a bunch of sick people, maybe there's somebody in that group that wasn't his will to heal. Maybe there's somebody in that group that God was still trying to teach something to. Okay, but you don't see that. They brought him all that were sick, were taken with divers diseases, in other words, many kinds of diseases, and torments, and those who were possessed with devils, and those who were lunatic, and those who had palsy, and he healed them. Didn't say he didn't heal some of them, said he healed them. In other words, he healed all of them. Okay, let's move on. Matthew 12:15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. If it wasn't his will to heal all, someone would have missed it. But he healed them all. Luke 4:40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick, if there's anyone that was sick, I mean, you'd think if it wasn't his will to heal everyone, some of these wouldn't make it. But they brought unto him, when the sun was setting, all they, that means everyone that had anyone sick, with different kinds of diseases, brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Never ask any questions, never say, well, now God is trying to teach you something. Just hold on for a few years. He healed every one of them. Luke 6, and this is three verses there, 17, 18, 19. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people. Now, I don't know how many were there. It might have been 1,000 people, it might have been 500, it might have been 2,000. I don't know. But there's a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. I mean, they're coming from everywhere. Which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out a virtue out of him and healed them all. Not one of them walked away without healing. You understand that? So you think it's his will to heal everyone? Don't ever let the devil convince you that it's not God's will to heal me or my loved one or my child. It is God's will that every last person walk in health. John said, he said, beloved, he said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. You understand that? Hebrews 10 and 7. Now, notice here, Jesus, well, let me give you this, and then I'll give you a couple more verses to go along with it. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. When Jesus came to the earth, he came to do the will of his heavenly Father, the Bible tells us. Okay? Remember, we've been dealing with this for some time. You can't understand God by reading the Old Covenant. You can't get a full picture of God by reading the Old Covenant. The Bible says that Jesus, the only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him to us. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip said to him one time in John there, Philip said, he said, Lord, talking to Jesus, he said, show us the Father. Show us what the Father's like. And Jesus said, Philip, he said, have I been here so long? He said, you still don't understand this? You still don't know me? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Okay? In other words, he said, everything I do, he said, Jesus, well, let me read. John chapter 6, verse 30, he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, if it's the will of him that sent him, if it was God's will to make people sick, you think Jesus would have made some people sick? You understand where I'm coming from here this morning? If it was God's will that some wouldn't be healed, you think Jesus said, well, now, no, let's hold on for a while on that one. You know, that's a big problem. I don't know if I can meet that. That's leprosy. That's cancer. No, just be comfortable and just, you know, God's got a purpose in all this and just relax and, you know, God, you know, we leave it all in God's hands. Jesus never talked that way. That's how we talk as religious people, but Jesus never talked that way. Jesus said, I came to do the will of him that sent me. Everything that Jesus did, he healed people. You know, I was reading something a week, and he said, when Jesus is on the earth, there's more records of him healing people than forgiving sins. But yet for all, we got no problem believing in the sins part. But when it comes to healing, we all got a problem with it. But in Jesus' ministry, there's more accounts, more record of him healing people than forgiving sins. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That means all the people that Jesus healed were oppressed of the devil. Remember when Jesus went into a synagogue one day, and the Bible says there's a woman there. She has bent over for 18 years. She has bent over and just, you know, couldn't straighten up because of back problems or whatever the case might be. We're not sure. But she was just bent over for 18 years. And Jesus said, he's not this woman, he said, who's a daughter of Abraham. In other words, she's in on the covenant of Abraham. Ought not this woman to be healed? And he touched her and she straightened up, and religious leaders got mad. You shouldn't do that on the Sabbath day. You have 6 days, you can work at that all week. Don't do that on the Sabbath day. I mean, how religion gets in there. Remember the man we talked about last week who was healed. And the Bible says that they started asking him, he's blind. They said, how'd you get healed? Well, he said, a man named Jesus came along. He said, and he spit on the ground and made some clay. He said, had dirt. He said, and put it on my eyes. He said, and told me to go and wash it off. He said, and I came again seeing. And they said, well, this is a Sabbath day. That must be from the devil. You see how religion can turn things around? You know? Now, let's go on. We'll stop on each one of them again and go over it again. But Jesus healed all that were oppressed of the devil. And that's what Jesus said. He said, whom Satan has bound for these 18 years, not God, Satan had bound her for 18 years. The Bible tells us, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He wasn't destroying his Father's works, because his Father never did it. He was destroying the works of the devil. Everything Jesus did was destroying the works of the devil. So that means every healing he did destroyed the works of the devil. So the sickness never came from God. Okay, I'm trying to prove to you here this morning that God wants us well. God wants us healed, and it's his desire and his will that we would be healed. Back under the old covenant even. Numbers 21 and 8. Remember when Moses lifted up the serpent made out of brass and put it up on a pole. And the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten. You think, well, maybe some of them, you know, deserved it. But God said, listen, every one that's bitten. How many would that be? All of them. Right? Every one is all. Every one that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made the serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, or any woman, any person, we could say, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He was healed, in other words. Okay? Anyone. Not, you know, just certain special people that God has got special favors for. God's got special favors for every last one of us. God loves us all equally. You understand that? Some people say, well, yeah, it's okay for so-and-so. Well, I mean, you're a good Christian. I can understand them getting healed, but, you know, I've had some issues in life. Listen, Jesus came because of your issues in life. If that's going to turn him away, what's the point of him coming? That's what he came for. I mentioned about the healing and sickness tied together, and we already quoted this verse, but I want to quote it again. Psalm 103, verses 1, 2, and 3. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. All of his benefits. In other words, there's more than just one benefit in this salvation thing. All of his benefits. As a matter of fact, if you go down through that chapter in Dake's Bible, and I keep saying this, and I probably should count it myself, but in Dake's Bible, he said in that chapter alone, he said there's 30 different benefits that are listed in that chapter alone. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. We got no problem with that. So if all meant all in when he's talking about our sins, it also means all when he's talking about our healings. He said, who heals all your diseases. One all is the same as the other all. You understand that? He forgives all of your iniquities. He heals all of your diseases. Pastor, you don't know. You know, I've always had this problem. He heals all of your diseases. And again, remember how it was tied together? Because one sacrifice, one atonement, in the atonement, healing and forgiveness of sins are all in the same price. So when he paid for one, he paid for the other. You understand that? Notice what he says here. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 20. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now this is just before Jesus went back into heaven. Okay, so what is included in the preaching of the gospel? There's a lot of people say, well, you know, and sometimes, you know, some good, well-respected, you know, Christian leaders, they say, well, you know, all these, you know, you got to spiritualize all these things. Man, if you start spiritualizing everything, you're going to miss the whole point of what Jesus came to do. You need to understand that you take God's word literally what he says. Okay, I understand, you know, there's some things figurative in prophecies and things like this. But when he's talking about here, people being healed, we read in Matthew there how he laid hands on the sick and they were healed, that he might fulfill what Isaiah prophesied. He bore our sicknesses. But look at Mark chapter 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, how many is every creature? In other words, every person should hear this gospel. Okay, what's included in the gospel? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Anybody got any problem with that? We believe that. Doesn't matter what kind of background you came from. Doesn't matter how far you've gone out in sin. Doesn't matter what kind of lifestyle you lived in the past. If you come to Jesus and say, listen, God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm asking your forgiveness. We understand that God's forgiveness is there. Right? So we say, preach the gospel to every creature. Every last person on the planet can be saved. Now, I know there's some people that say, well, you know, God has already chosen who's going to be saved, and God has already chosen who's going to be lost. And, you know, I don't believe that. The Bible, he said, whosoever will. Whosoever will. That means the choice is up to us if we want to be saved or not. You understand that? So he said, preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And then he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name they will cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Some people say, oh, tongues are not for today. This is just before Jesus went back into heaven. He gave us, you know, commission to the disciples. We call it the Great Commission. We say the Great Commission, and I mean, there's people all over the world, Christians all over the world, say the Great Commission is going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And we think just the gospel is just salvation, you know, like forgiveness of sins. And that is, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but there's a whole lot more to it. There's more in the benefit package. There's more to it than just having your sins forgiven. He said, these signs shall follow. This is what the gospel is going to accomplish. This is what the gospel, if the gospel is preached in its truth, this is what should be happening. He said, in my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and if they take up serpents, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now he's not talking about going out and trying to, you know, like see some people on television and everything else taking up snakes to prove that they're spiritual or something. That's stupid. He's not talking about it. But he's talking about when you face situations in life, the power of God is there for you. Notice what he says here. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now try to spiritualize that. That means nobody can get saved unless you lay hands on them. If you're saying that the sickness that he's talking about here is spiritual sickness, and that means salvation, that means you got to lay hands on somebody in order to get saved. He's not saying that. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick. That means sick. You know, physical sickness. We read that in Matthew chapter 8 there. Physical sickness. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. If the gospel is preached in its fullness, these things should be happening. Okay? They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. You think, man, that's the last thing he said to us. You think that's going to change next, you know? When? No. This is the commission. You see, some people say, well, healing is not for today. Speaking in tongues is not for today. Well, why did Jesus say it? He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes, that means they're not believing right now, but he that believes, those in the future that well believe, you understand, will be saved. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. That's those out there in the future that believe. These signs will follow them. In my name, they'll cast out devils, speak with new tongues, all these different things. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Oh, yeah, now, but Pastor, you know, that got over. When the disciples all died, when the apostles all died off, that died off with it. Well, that means that water baptism died off with it, too, because it's all in the same package. That means salvation, forgiveness of sins, died off with it, too, when they died. I mean, if one died off, the other would die off, wouldn't it? That makes sense to you? He gives us all this package of things that the gospel would accomplish, and we say, yeah, no, but that was only until the apostles. Well, if speaking in tongues stopped when the apostles died off, well, he that believes and baptized shall be saved. That died off as well. But no, that never died off. It's still just as powerful today as the day when Jesus said it. It's just as real if Jesus stood up here 5 minutes ago and said, listen, this is my will for you to do. Go out and preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick and see them healed. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. See, once the word is being preached, let me say something. If salvation is never preached, you'll never see anybody saved. If the baptism of the Holy Spirit is never preached, you'll never see anybody baptized. If healing is never preached, you'll never see healing. This is why I believe God is directing us, because I'm sick and tired. That's probably a pun, probably. But I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. How's that? I'm sick and tired of the body of Christ. I mean, I think it's time for us to get mad at the devil and say, devil, you're trespassing on God's territory. This has been paid for 2,000 years ago. It's time for that to get over with. It's time for us to stand up and say, listen, according to God's word, we can lay hands on the sick and we can see people saved and healed and delivered this day as well as he did back then. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. Behold, he brought into a sick man, a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And remember, they got mad at that. I should have had the verses. They got mad. They said, who does this man think he is to forgive sins? And Jesus, the Bible says, knew what they're saying, knew what they're thinking. And he said, listen, he said, what's easier for you to say, for me to say? He said, your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk. It's all in the same package. Once redemption was paid for, he paid just as much for your salvation of your spirit as the salvation of your body. You understand that? So he's saying, what is easier to say? He said, one or the other. He said, both of it is paid for. It's a done deal. You receive the atonement, you receive all of it. That's what he's saying. Mark chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And when they could not come nigh unto him because of the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein lay the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And he was healed. Now, we're getting into this in our Bible study back here in the back room. The word sozo, some people say it. Soteria is a study of, soteriology is a study of salvation. But soteria and sozo in the Greek, okay, in that word, it means deliverance from everything that Adam brought in. When Jesus paid the price, he never paid the price just for part of it. He wiped out completely what Adam did back there. The Bible says, by one man's sin, death came into the world, and death reigned through sin. But by one man's righteousness, many shall be made righteous. So Jesus completely reversed what Adam brought in. All the curse that Adam brought in, Jesus took it upon himself. He became a curse for us. We talk about he became sin for us, he became a curse for us. Everything that was involved in that curse, Jesus paid for. You understand that? We got to get that. And if we don't understand and don't believe in God's willingness to heal, we'll never receive the healing, or very few if we do. We've got to get to the place that we believe that just as strongly as we believe the salvation of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins. That it's all in the same package. 1 Peter 2:24, and you know this verse. Who is own self bear our sins? We got no problem with that. But you see how the two are tied together. He said, himself bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It was in the same package. When he paid for our sins, he paid for our sicknesses. When he provided forgiveness of sins, he provided healing for our sicknesses. It's all in the same package. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. Then came also a multitude out of the cities around about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Now, you think, well, that's Jesus. No, that's not Jesus. That's the apostles. That's after Jesus had gone back into heaven. They brought people out, the same thing that Jesus, they saw Jesus do. They went out doing the very same thing. They brought out sick people from all over the region, brought them to where the apostles were. And the Bible says they healed every one of them. You think it's God's will to heal us? We need to get that down in our spirit, that it's God's will for us to be well. Acts chapter 8 and verse 7. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were healed. So when this was done also, others also which had diseases on the island came and were healed. This is where Paul went to the island of Miletus, and remember the Pablos was the fellow that got healed there. When people saw that he got healed, people started running all over the island, gathering people, bringing them down to Paul and them. Now you got to understand, Luke was there. Luke was a doctor. Luke was a physician, and Luke was telling the story. And he said he brought them to Paul, and they were healed. Well, this is a bunch of pagans. You think, well, if I'm good enough, God will heal. This is a bunch of pagans never ever heard talk of God. It amazes me. You look at television sometimes and you see some of these crusades over in India and Africa and places like that, where people don't have a relationship with Jesus. A lot of them never ever heard the name of Jesus. I'm not belittling them. I'm saying they never ever heard the name of Jesus. But God loves them just as much as he loves us. And you see people healed by the multitudes out there. When somebody comes and says, listen, God wants to heal you tonight. They believe that, and they know that God, and they have no problem being healed because they believe in God's willingness. We have a problem. We trust God for his power, but we doubt about his willingness to heal us. We got to get over that and start to understand that not one person ever was turned away and says, not my will to heal you. I was thinking the other day, I was just reading scriptures. No one ever came to Jesus for healing and Jesus said, no, I'm sorry, that's out of my league. Or, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Or, I'm sorry, God is trying to teach you something. I'm sorry, you got to do something first in order. You never get... Now, one man came to Jesus and asked, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Bible says he went away sorrowful. He never received it. But not one was turned away for healing. You understand that? We got to get the understanding that Jesus performed more healings than forgiving people's sins. Now, you're going to think, you're saying healing. No, I'm not saying that at all. The most important thing in this world is have your sins forgiven. You can go to heaven, matter of fact, you get there faster if you're sick. But it's not God's will for us to go around suffering for years and years and years with this problem, that problem, some other problem, this sickness, that disease. That's not God's will. Jesus paid for it, and the devil's done a masterful job. We've got to give him credit where credit's due. He's done a masterful job in blinding us. The Bible says the God of this world has blinded their eyes so that they can't see the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember? It's a glorious gospel. There's a lot of benefits here that we've missed. And it's time for us to wake up and say, listen, boy, it is God's will. It is God's desire. God wants his family well. And once we get past that hurdle, I believe we'll see a landslide of healings. Because that, to me, I honestly believe that's our biggest problem, is wondering if God will do it or not. For me. He might do it for you, but I don't know if it's for me. And we get that thinking. We got to get to the point and say, listen, God loves me just as much as he loves that leper that got cleansed there or somebody else. God loves me the very same way. He's not a respecter of persons. He's not trying to teach me something. This came from the devil. This came from the devil. Three more little passages there. When the evening was come, this is Matthew chapter 8. This is a little farther down the chapter we were just reading. Matter of fact, let me go back to Exodus, first of all, verse 16. God revealed himself, verse 15, 1526, sorry. God revealed himself. He said, I am the Lord that healeth. I mean, if God didn't want to heal anybody, you think he would have said that? He said, I am the Lord, your healer. We sing that sometimes. I sent my word. The Bible says he sent his word to heal. Jesus is the word of God. He came to the earth. And what did he do when he got on the earth? He healed and healed and healed and healed and healed. He said, I sent my word to heal. And I believe it's also he sent his word, the scriptures. We can see the scriptures to bring healing to us. I believe it's also possible for us to speak God's word for somebody that's... Remember, Jesus spoke the word one time. The man came and he said, my servant is at home. Jesus spoke the word 21 miles down the road. The man was healed. He sent his word to heal. Not once did he ever say, that's not in my plan today. The service is not going that way, so I'm not having healing service today. Never ever said that. Never, ever, ever turn anybody away. And when they finally came to him and said, is it your will? Jesus immediately said, it is my will. That's the only place, the only record we have to go by. Why take all the records of religion and everything else when Jesus himself, he said, I came to do the will of him that sent me. He said, I don't do anything until I see him do it. He said, the words that I speak, he said, not my words, they're his words. What is God like? God is a healing God. You understand that? I had some other scriptures I got to miss or somewhere. Anyway, I was going to mention, I changed this around so many times last night, adding verses, I probably deleted some too. But remember over in James chapter 5. This is a passage we read quite often. Is any sick among you? Let me say, is there any real good Christians among you that are sick? You should get them in and have them healed. He said, is there any sick? How many are any? Oh, that's the same as a whosoever, isn't it? Is any sick among you? He said, let him call for the elders of the church. I was listening to a fellow preach from England, actually, a while ago, and he said his body was covered in eczema. And he got mad at the Lord one day and started telling God off because God wasn't healing him and all these different things. And so he read this passage here. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. So he said, he went to a church. And he said to him, I want to be healed. And they believed in healing. And so anyway, they prayed for him, and he got kind of ticked with them, and he said, how come? He said, I've been sick all this time. He said, you fellows never ever came. He said, do anything. He said, the Bible says, call for us. He said, you never ever called. And he said, that was a good point. He said, never thought of that. He said, and he said, they prayed for him, and he said, the next day, because he was telling me, sir, he was covered. His body was bleeding all over. He was covered in eczema. They have a different pronunciation for eczema, or however they say it. But he said he was covered, and he said in the next day he was totally healed. His flesh all came back. He said pink. He said it was gone, and today he's a pastor of a church over there. But you see, we need to understand God's willingness. He said if there's any sick, not just, you know, if there's some real bad cases, or if there's only, you know, somebody got a toothache or a headache, or, you know, probably a little bit of dizziness, you know, come up, because he said, is there any sick? I mean, God wants his family well. Is there any sick? He said, call for the elders of the church. And notice what he says there. He said, let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. He said, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Notice what he says there, save the sick. Sozo is the same word that's used for saving when it comes to our salvation and everything else. Those that believe and baptize will be saved. Same word is used right here. They will save the sick. Because the same is paid for at the same time. It's all part of the same package. You receive the atonement, you receive healing as well as salvation. Because like we say salvation, but it's forgiveness. You receive healing, same time you receive forgiveness. Notice what he said? He said, they shall lay hands on the sick. Or no, let's go back to James. He said, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. What's the next line? If they've committed sin, it shall be forgiven. Now you get that. That's all in the same package. It's why Jesus said, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or you're healed. It's all tied together. And you say, well, how come, you know, I got saved and I still got my sickness? Because we understand God's will to save us, but we don't understand God's will to heal us. And we hold on to that and say, well, you know, it's not for me. I'll struggle along. You know, if I can just cope with this, if I can just get along with this, I'll be okay. And the devil says, exactly where I want to keep you. Not once did Jesus say, well, you know, man, remember the man with his eyes healed? And Jesus said, what do you see? He said, I see men. He said, look like trees walking around. I mean, he was blurry. Jesus didn't say, well, that's pretty good. That's better than what you had before. Cope. That'll help you to cope with life. At least you'll be able to see how you get around a bit. Now, Jesus said, come here. He said, let me touch you again. Some people say, well, you know, you shouldn't ask for a second time. Jesus said, come here. Let me do it again. See, I'm tired of religion. Tired of all these, you know. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe in faith and I believe in trusting God. But let's line up what we believe by God's word, not just by what somebody thinks God's word is saying. Jesus said, come here. Let me do it again. And he touched him the second time. And this time he saw it clearly. You know? We're going to finish up, but boy, I tell you. Go back to Matthew chapter 8 again. I just want to read into the verses really fast here. Okay, we just read about the leprosy. Jesus touched him. He was cleansed. Verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, he left that and he went into Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, and he's dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. I mean, Jesus never said, well, you fellows aren't even believers. You don't belong to Israel. I mean, this is a Roman centurion. These were the people that were occupying Israel. The Jews hated them. Jesus, no, this is not for you. No, Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. I mean, there's no question whatsoever. Jesus wanted him healed. He said, I'll come and heal him. And the man said to him, and I'll just make it a little bit shorter. Man said to him, he said, no, he said, I'm not worthy. He said, you come into my house. He said, just speak the word. He said, and he'll be healed. Jesus said, I've never seen such faith like this in Israel. He said, go your way. He said, your servant is healed. And then right after that, the Bible says, and verse 13, Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, Peter's mother-in-law, lying sick of a fever. So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and rose and served them. You think I mean, everywhere you read, Jesus is healing people. And when the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all who were sick. You think, well, yeah, but that don't mean all. What does it mean then? It means exactly what it said. He healed all that were sick. Why? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. When he paid one price for your sins, he paid for your sicknesses as well. Okay, we got to start to understand that that is just as much God's will to heal us as it is to save us. It's just as much God's will for healing to be preached in the, with the gospel as salvation to be preached. Don't forget the benefits. And we can go on and on there. There's other verses there, but if, go on down through the chapter. But listen, and I know it's a bit long this morning, we covered a lot of scriptures there, but I want us to start thinking. You see, remember we talked about it back here in our Bible study the other night? The grace and the peace that comes from God comes as we get a knowledge of Him. As we understand that He wants to heal us, as we understand that He wants to bless us, as we understand that He wants to prosper us, then we can start experiencing it. But if we're thinking, well, prosperity, now that's all in the package. God's blessings, all in the package. Yeah, I mean, a pastor, don't get carried away. I'm not getting carried away with it. Jesus got carried away with it too. More than I'm getting carried away with it. You understand? Jesus healed everyone. There's not one single person that Jesus said, no, hold on now. You know, come back after, a few days. Come back after you try this. Come back after you clean up your life. Come back after, you're involved with something you shouldn't be involved in. You straighten it up first, then come back. He never said anything like that. He healed all that were sick, all that were oppressed, all that were demon-possessed. He delivered every last one. Never once did He turn away from them. Never once. So let's start renewing our minds, start lining it up with God's Word, that it is God's will for us to be well. It's God's will for us to be healed. The man came to Jesus. He said, Lord, He said, I know You can do it, but are You willing to do it? Immediately, Jesus touched him and said, I am willing. Settle it once and for all. Let that settle it once and for all in your mind that He is willing that you be healed and delivered. Praise God. Praise God. I know that's long, but you fellows are used to it anyway. But we need to get our minds renewed by the Word of God, that it's God's will to heal us.